I was going to come to the States because I live in Romania. I was going to come to visit my sister, Ruth, Monsignor, and she said, well, you should go to Andrew's camp since you're here, so you have to plan it just right to go to Andrew's camp. But I didn't end up coming, so now I get to speak. So it kind of worked against me, but I guess it might work. So I pray that what I have to say would help you guys, and that you guys would understand what I is the main thing. But first of all, I'd like to pray so that God can open our understanding, that we would understand all that He wants to tell us. Because each person will understand differently, because it's obviously not a cut and dried thing for everybody. Same. But, so first let's pray. Dear Lord God, we come before you and thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for making it so beautiful and not so hot that we can't have the doors open, nor too cold that we have to keep them closed that way. Thank you, Lord, that it's beautiful and you've helped so many people to get here. And yet small enough that we can feel together in a small group. Thank you, Lord. Please give me wisdom in all that I say and help it to be a blessing to all those who hear. Thank you, God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to start off with, I don't really have a main text, but the idea of it is in Luke chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. I think it's going to be a lot of turning, because I found a lot of good verses that I really like. And the verses of the Bible speak much better than I can ever speak, so that's why I like these verses. So, I heard that you guys have sword drill, so it'll be similar to lots of turning, but you don't have to turn if you don't want to. So, Luke chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And the conclusion is, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So the idea is, but if you plant an apple tree, you're not going to get prunes or plums or whatever you call them. In Romanian, it's prunes for a plum. That's why I mix up, sorry. So if you plant one thing, you're not going to get a different thing. If you plant potatoes, you're not going to get corn. So it's the same thing. If you have whatever is in your heart is going to come out. And that's what I want to talk about. Is I'm still young and I'm still like most of you guys, so I just want to give you some ideas, and then you guys have to search it out farther, okay? It's just the beginning of just to give you guys a spark of an idea of what to look at, and then you can think about it. I've heard some people in Romania and here say how, you know, you see them, how they are, yeah, but they say, oh, I'm a Christian, what matters is the heart. And it's true, it's way true, because God looks at the heart. But everything that's in the heart will come out. As we said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in the end, you'll know them by their fruit. There's many things we can look at. But first off, I thought that we would look at how we speak, because that's a big thing, as it says, that's how verse starts out. Is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in James chapter 3, we have 10 verses from verse 2 till verse 12. James 3, chapter 3, verses 2 through 12. Some of it is a little bit general, but I want to get the idea out of the passage as well, even though it's a little bit long. So starting with verse 2 out of James chapter 3. For in many things we offend all. All of us offend, is what it's saying. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth, or wants, wherever the steersman will. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed. So you have pet dogs, you have pet rabbits, everything. Those are tamed. And hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. So, this passage is saying that our tongue can do a lot of things. Sometimes people feel like only if you cut a person or do something to them, it can hurt them. But have you ever noticed that just a simple word can just make you hurt, can just make you feel bad? And that's something that we feel bad about when others do it. But we have to be careful, because when, for instance, with a sword, my mom has used that analogy before, is that the person who has a sword, the handle feels soft. Not soft, but it's made to fit the hand. But the point is sharp, isn't it? But you don't feel the point. You obviously don't do it to you. You go to other people. And so you don't feel what's going on the other side sometimes. But if you turn around and you feel, oh, what's on the other side, you realize what your words are doing to other people. So words, in one sense, are something that can, they can be either good or bad, is what. And so they have to be taken care of. Also in Matthew 12, Matthew chapter 12, let's see, I have to turn here too. Verses 35 through 37. This is, again, says almost the same thing right here in verse 35, Matthew chapter 12. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, this is what I was looking at. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So it says every idle word. Now, obviously, if we build somebody up, we'll be repaid for that in a good sense. But also the idle words, it says, idle in other words of no use. In other words, how do you say in English? I can't remember the word. Words talking bad about people are like that, or anything that doesn't build somebody up, that's like an idle word. And then it says that we'll give account for each and every idle word in the day of judgment. It says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So words have a lot to do with our being good or our being bad. Which sounds very simple, but it's a lot harder when you come down to it. Is how it really is. Because I try also. I mean, I'm still learning. I'm not a saint. Well, I am in a certain way because of being saved. But not all the things that I say are good. I still get upset. I have little brothers that sometimes just tweak your nerves, you know, just enough to make you upset. And then you have to calm yourself down. Obviously, you don't let it out. And you have to realize, hey, what's inside? When times get harder, what's inside, all of a sudden you begin to see a little light here or there. And then when you have a light or a little match and shows something, then take care of it right away so it doesn't grow into a bigger thing, right? Just like a garden. So that was about that. And then Matthew 15, just a couple pages farther on. Matthew 15, verses 11, 17, and 18. Jesus is talking right here with the Pharisees, I do believe. But anyway, he's talking about that you don't have to do many traditions and things. But in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 15, it says, not that which goes into the mouth defileth the man, but that which comes out of the mouth is what defileth the man. So it's not what you eat, you know. It makes you sick, but it doesn't make you, you know, sinful in front of God or something like that, what you eat. But what you speak, that's what will defile a man in the end, is what it says here. Is what it is saying. And then 17, verse 17 and 18. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goes out into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, just as what we were saying. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So that, and when it says man, it's not talking about only men, it's talking about people in general. That's the Bible way of saying people. So that is the idea of with what we speak, to be careful of that. And then farther on, we can look at Matthew 7. I guess I have a lot of verses out of Matthew this time. But that'll be easier for us to turn to them. Matthew 7, verse 17 through 21. Another long passage, but not too long. So, Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 21. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bear forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, or cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So in verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. So it's not just our tongue, what we say even. Because we can say, Lord, Lord, and pray and do this kind of thing. But then later on it says, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So we have to also do God's will. Which obviously partly is talking how we ought to. There's many, many aspects, but I just am looking at this today. So don't feel anybody picked up. So in 20 it says, by their fruits ye shall know them. So what comes out of a person's life, you can see. Many times you know someone's a good person, but then they do certain things and it's hard to know. But in the end, you can kind of see in what direction their life is going. You know, that's what, because there's some people that only just get saved and they're starting low, and so you wonder, but they're not as good as this other person that you see. But maybe they started out of a Christian family and these people didn't, so they're still going upward, but they aren't at that height yet, but they're going upward. That's what matters. But if you're going downward, it doesn't matter how high you are, you're still going down. So you have to be careful which way you're going. That's what you have to look at. I hope you guys are getting my, getting what I'm trying to get across. Okay, so by their fruits you shall know them. And all these are kind of tied together. What you talk, and then have your... It's not only what you say, but also doing the will of the Father, is what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around a lot, but I'm not a speaker, is it? I just want to share a couple things. So what he's saying is to do the will of the Father, but also is to talk with grace and with, here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So that's also about your speech, but to have it with grace. So you can say the same thing to a person, you know, you should wear socks today. But if you say it in that kind of a way, they're like, I'm going to go barefoot just to not listen to you, you know. But if you say it in a kind way, that's with grace. You can say the same thing. Maybe it's really necessary because you know that something might bite her or something like that. So you don't know what is behind what they're saying, but if you say it with grace, that's the idea. So there's, for instance, I read that passage. Yeah, I did. I'm forgetful. So it's, you have to be ready to answer. So then in the end of the verse it says, be ready to answer every man. For instance, I thought of a few examples that sometimes people have asked me, why do you dress like that? Or aren't you hot? You know, or I suppose most of you have had that, you know, why do you wear a skirt down to the ground? You know, isn't it easier or shorter? And sometimes I've always felt strange most of the time. So I give some strange answer, you know, that just really doesn't answer their question, just to make them feel like I've answered them. But then finally I realized, you know, if we do something and we believe that we should do it, then we have to study to have an answer, just like it says. So we can answer people. And there's another verse here. Oh dear, did I lose it? I liked it a lot. Oh yeah, there we go. 1 Peter 3:15, a little farther back. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, in the lower part of the verse, be ready always to give an answer, like that other verse said in Colossians, to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if they ask, why are you so happy? Why do you smile so much? Why do you have peace when there's so much turmoil around you? Or then it says here to always be ready to have an answer to give to whoever asks you these questions. Like what I was saying is people ask, why do you do certain things? And if you don't know why, you just, oh, mom and dad told me to. And then they're like, that makes me feel like doing it, doesn't it? I mean, they have no reason to be more modest or to talk better, because if your parents told you to, then I'll do what my parents told me to, which is good. You have to listen to your parents. But what I'm saying is you have to have a reason for why you do things. And some things we just know the Bible says so. And you say it simply like that. The Bible talks about it, says so. If you want to find it, you study it for yourself. And that's giving him an idea to look at the Bible. That's still encouraging. But the point is if we do something and we believe that we should do it, to have an answer. Why? Because otherwise people think, if you don't believe in doing it, you're just doing it, then there's no reason for me to turn to God either, you know? So we have to be careful of that. And then, so, and everything to know how to answer every man. That's what it's saying, to have grace in your speech. And then, in Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 34, I have here. So this is kind of like the conclusion, is for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your treasure is with God, in other words, your heart, you know, what? Well, that's what it says. If your treasure is with God, and everything that you love, if you love God with your whole heart and mind and soul and strength, is what, there's a verse, then your treasure will be with him. Your heart will be with him, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And out of your heart, everything comes out. So if your heart is with God, you'll have good things coming out. But if you still have control of your life and you don't want to let God have control, then it's no wonder that all sorts of things come out and you smash your thumb and you say things. Instead, you just say, oh, praise the Lord, I guess I needed to quiet down, I needed to slow down, you know. Because sometimes you get so hurried that you do things about, I mean, I do things like putting peanut butter in the fridge, which, if it's natural peanut butter, you understand, but otherwise, it doesn't all work, you know, or the salt. There's no need to fill up your fridge with salt. So the thing is you slow down, you calm down, and you pray a little bit when you do something wrong, instead of saying things that, now, I'm not talking about even terribly bad things, those we can leave to the world, but still, just exclaiming or doing things you can always do without, generally. So, did I read this passage? I am so. Luke 12:34, yeah. For your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So that kind of concludes what I was saying about the heart part. And for your heart to be with God, that's the conclusion. And then what comes out of your heart will be godly. So then, the rest, that I want to talk about the tongue and what we say in our heart. And then I wanted to go farther and look at some of the Beatitudes, is what it's called, but the place in Matthew where it says, blessed are they, blessed, all those things, of how we should be, things that we can do if we're wanting to follow God and like that. I'm sorry, I'm being vague, but my thoughts are going very fast. Then these things, most of these things in the part that I want to talk about now, is all things on the outside. There are things on the inside. He talks about, like, blessed are the poor in spirit. Here, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, up to verse 9. Most of these things are inside things that are part of the heart, but they all you can see on the outside, almost all of them. For instance, if you mourn or are sad, generally it's seen on the outside, right? Because people say, oh, why are you sad? It's because it can be seen on the outside. And blessed are the meek, that you can see in the spirit, in a meek spirit. So most of these things are on the outside, and that's what I'm looking at, is what is on the inside to be on the outside as well. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, the first one, it said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to look at the first part, which is blessed are the poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit is kind of like being humble, is the idea, is not to be proud, or it's to be low down in your spirit somehow. So poor in spirit, being humble, and in Psalm 51, you can kind of keep the Matthew 5 open, but in Psalm 51 it says, where am I? In Psalm 51, 17, verse 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, which is kind of like poor in spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So he looks with, oh dear, sometimes these more describing English words just fail. So the thing is, he puts a high price, how would you say, on if you have a contrite heart, broken spirit. He doesn't despise it. So the opposite of being despised would be like to
esteem.
Something like that, yeah. So he looks on this as a good thing. So that's a verse that can kind of explain the verse, is what I was trying to do. So that was with the blessed are the poor in spirit. Then Matthew 5, verse 4, we've got, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In 2 Corinthians, so to mourn, it's not just saying to be sad. I mean, most of us have been sad, somebody's died, somebody's, and that's a big thing, but I'm saying it in an easy way. Or you have to sit in bed for a week because you broke your ankle or something, which I did that. I sat 2 weeks and it was hard. And sometimes you don't have the patience, but you learn. In 2 Corinthians 7, I'm making you turn a lot, so it's good that I'm turning. I didn't write it down, so I didn't print it out, so I don't have it written to read fast. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. So, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So it's not talking about the sorrow of the world here, blessed are they that mourn. It's talking about the sorrow, godly sorrow, as it says here. It works to repentance. So a repentant heart is to be sorry for what you've done, to want to follow God and to do right, no? So here, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, and to not turn back, is to go ahead with your salvation. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So he's not talking about worldly sorrow, he's talking about a sorrow that draws you closer to the Lord. Sorry for your sin, go on ahead with God. So, and then there's also in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we got here verses 3 and 4. 4 is what I'm looking at, but 3 will give us the context more. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforted us all in our tribulation. So in our time, hard times, when we are sorrowful, or when we mourn, so he comforts us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So, if we mourn, it means we go through things sometimes, and it saddens us for the time, but later on, you can help somebody else through the same thing because you have already experienced it. Have you guys ever had that? You've gone through something, I mean, even if it's just breaking an arm or a finger, I don't know, something small, and then somebody else does it, and you say, you know what, I went through that. And then you're able to help the person. You know, good. I've had it a few times, and it's a blessing. At the time, it feels not so great to have gone through whatever you went through. It can be small, or it can be very big sometimes. But later on, you realize that you can help people through it, you know? So, that's what the mourn. It's not just to cry and be sad, but it's to be able to, for God, it's to be, in the end, to be joyful for somebody else, is to know the other side of being only happy, is to know what it is to be also sad. In Matthew chapter 5, same place, verse 5, then it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So meek, being a meek and quiet spirit, is another thing that you can see on the outside, but it's a thing from the heart. So you can't just be meek and just decide, I'm going to be meek today. It doesn't work, because you have to be, it's a thing that you grow, that God can give you, and that can slowly, I mean, I don't know everything, I don't know even the ways of explaining things, but most people, if you think about it and study it, you'll find out more about it. This is just to tell you a little bit. So about blessed are the meek, in 1 Peter chapter 3, let's see, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. So this is talking about ladies, how they dress, how they are, how they act, or are. Verse 3 in 1 Peter chapter 3. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel or clothes, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. So, to take care of the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, or what won't pass away is what, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, it says, which is in the sight of God of great price. So to have a meek and quiet spirit, it says here, which here it says, blessed are the meek. Here it says, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So sometimes, you know, being that we're all girls here, you see a girl someplace that just has all the attention. It's something like, couldn't I be, you know, couldn't I make that joke, you know, that just took everybody's attention and made everybody laugh? But then, in the long run, you'll find out that it kind of dies off. You get older, you don't joke so much, and then you're not the center of attention anymore. But somebody with a meek and quiet spirit, all through their life, you can be next to them as a friend. It doesn't have to be always who's better, who's higher on the social scale. It can just be a true friend if you have a meek and quiet spirit. That's the thing that you can look in somebody. You know, I've thought many times about friends that I have, or people that you know. How many friends do you really have that are friends? And what kind of qualities do they have that made them your friends? Because if you notice, you normally, the center of all the attention is generally not your best friend because she's too busy with everybody else. Isn't that true? Generally, because she's busy trying to get attention from somebody else. So, but somebody who's quiet and is more calculated with a quietness about him, then you can actually have her as a friend because You can talk about things that actually mean something. You know, what's going to happen later? What's, instead of only today, what are we going to eat? So that's what I'm saying, is the more important things, the long run is what matters. Because right now, yeah, we grew up. But then in the end, you say, hey, years have passed, and what have I done? You know? So you have to think about that. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting off on rabbit trails. Matthew, and we'll go farther on. So that was about the inside man. A meek and quiet spirit is a great price in front of God, before God. Then Matthew chapter 5, same place, verse 6, says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. To hunger and thirst after something is to really, really want it, you know? It's to know that it's good and to search for it and to get it. Kind of like, so farther on, if you look at another passage, it explains it better. Here's Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7. That's easy to remember. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So here it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, or looking for something after righteousness. That something is righteousness. Or to be more like, more godly, more, can't think of a better word. So, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and here it says, ask and it shall be given you. So to seek it before God, and to ask for it, because then it says he'll give it to you. And to seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. So those are things like righteousness here, that if you ask for it, seek it, you can find it, if with your whole heart. There's some people that want to do it, but half their time is taken up in something else, then it's not too much of a wonder that they don't find the thing that they're looking for. If you want to find this door, and you're busy looking at each volleyball course, you know, or golf course all along the way, it's kind of hard to imagine that, you know, you're going to make a beeline for the store. You're looking at all the other things. No? So then, if you have your eyes on something, you can generally get to it if you really want it with your, I'm talking about to seek God, not anything. If you're wanting to follow God, then he will show himself in to you. In Matthew, then farther on, in Matthew 6, so that's right in between Matthew 5 and Matthew 7, Matthew 6, 33, is one that lots of us know, but it also explains it. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, if you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and put his things first, he will give you what you need. He does take care of you. And I've noticed that in my life many, many times, that when you actually follow God and you want to do his will, sometimes you feel like, do I read my Bible now for half an hour this morning, or do I go and do breakfast right away? Sometimes you don't have the time and you need to go do breakfast if you slept in. But sometimes you'll find that if you do your Bible reading, and if you have to make it a little shorter, if you do your Bible reading in the morning or whatever it is, something, searching for God, is praying or something, then when you, and it comes to making breakfast, you're so much more joyful that it paid off in the end, doesn't it? So if you seek first the kingdom of God, many times it goes much faster. Sometimes if I've taken time to do something for somebody, help somebody or something, you'll find even the water boils faster. I don't know how it works, but God just helps you. And so then, he does help you. And he adds things to you. And he blesses you when you want to do his will. And when you do what you need to. So then, we'll go on to the next one. Matthew, same place. Chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Another thing that you can see in a person, it's in the inside, but you can tell if somebody has mercy on others instead of just always requiring down to the last cent. No, like, if he's the hard master, if you're graceful and with mercy, you're merciful. Farther on, if you help people, that's being merciful. If you have pity on people, and like the Good Samaritan, for instance, he was merciful. Most of you know the story, I'm not sure. But I won't go into it now. Proverbs 11 is a place that explains it about mercy. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17. It says, the first part only, or the whole thing works. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul. So if you're merciful, it generally turns around to you in the end. So if you have mercy on somebody, somebody else will say, hey, he's a good person, I better have mercy on him also. But he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. So it's saying, if you're a bad person, people say, you know, why should I be good to him? Just give him back what he gave me, no? Which unchristian, non-Christian is what I'm talking. But a merciful man, people say, so it says, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. So he actually helps himself by being merciful. So in a sense, in many ways, it's a good thing to be merciful because you end up better off in the end with God being on your side also. And then Matthew 5, verse 8. Farther on, said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Oh, my time has passed terribly fast. I thought I was going on 34:30. But at least we started late, so I only talked half an hour yet. So you can wait just a minute, another 5 minutes, and I'll be done. So, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart is another way you can say honest. Oh, like, to show who you are, in other words, but to have a pure heart in the beginning, not just to show who you are, that some people say, show who you are, in other words, be tough, be sincere, or not double-faced, as some people, you know, you're good to one person, and, you know, if he treated you bad, treat him the same. No, it's to be pure in heart, is to be sincere with everybody. In Proverbs 15, I let go of Proverbs, and so now I have to find it again. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26, the end of verse 26, says, the words of a pure person are pleasant words. So that's another thing tied into what I was saying about words. So if you're pure in heart, it says the words of the pure are pleasant words, then it will be pleasant things that come out of you. Because you don't have to remember, did I lie to this person last week or did I not? You know, what do I have to continue to hold up my... the face that I are, the idea that I've already given to people about me, right? Because if you say something, that you've done something, then if you meet up with the guy next week, you have to say something to continue that same story. You can't change the story, right? So you have to remember what you've done. But if you're pure in heart, you'll always have pleasant words, because you don't have to worry about what this person is going to think about you. So, pleasant words is what comes out. If you're pure in heart, clean, sincere, what's inside of you, you don't have hidden things that you're wondering about people. You can just be open with people. So then in Matthew 5, verse 9, oh, how did I go that place now? Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And here, many times when God came to talk to somebody, for instance, Mary, when she was going to have Jesus, remember? The angel came to her and said, have peace, or however, I can't remember the exact way that he says it in the Bible. But he says, peace be unto you, or have peace, or do not be afraid. That means to not be troubled, he also says. In other places, you know the story of when, first the Christmas story, when Mary, when the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to be expecting with Jesus, and so he said, peace be unto you. And then, what Jesus wants us to have is to have peace in everything. Through all things, even through hard times, through good times, so it's easier to have peace in good times, but even through the hard times then, to continue in that peace. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God, see the Lord. So it says, follow peace, or be a peacemaker, as it says here. Blessed are the peacemakers. It says, without which, or if you don't have peace, or follow peace with all people, you can't see the Lord. So it says, without which, no man shall see the Lord. So it's a very important thing, is to have peace and to make peace between people. Because then we can see the Lord. What it says. So then, there's a verse in James that has to do, that's all for the Beatitudes part. I was just wanting to bring out how most of these things are inside things, and they all matter what's in the heart, and that's what God can change. And we help. He's not the only one. We don't just say God changes. We have to work on it also, but with His help. But all these things should be seen on the outside also when you're working at it. So it's things that can be seen also, not only a hidden thing, but also things you can see. In James chapter 3, verse 17, I'm sorry, I'm making you guys turn. But I'll read it. James 3, 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, or, you know, holding sides as well, and without hypocrisy. It says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So, to be righteous, it's a part of the thing of being peaceful. So that's all together. And then, so I think you guys all kind of had the idea of what I was talking about. The rest of the part. And I have one last verse in 1 John, very close to the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2. Let's see here. Verse 28. It says, and now little children, which is not only talking to children, it's talking about anybody who is a child of God or who is wanting to serve God. Abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So, that means that in everything to strive to do what's right. That in all things to want to do His will. Because when Jesus comes, He won't wonder if Amy thought good of you or if whatever girl thought that you said the right thing at the right moment. Because in the end, it's all going to be what God thinks about you. And so whenever you have a big choice to make in life, always think about it. In the end, when God comes, when I'm standing before God, what would I want to say? That I did it or that I didn't do it? And what will He say? So think about that before you do things. Because sometimes that can change things drastically. Sometimes something feels like the right thing to do. But then when you think about it in the light that God would, in God's light of how that how it should be done, then you realize, maybe I shouldn't do it anymore. Not always bad things. Just the things we have to decide every day. Just what we have to do. So that, I will close with that. That we can have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. That's what we need to strive for. Is to be, to live clean lives and how we ought to. I hope you guys understood what I had to say. Let's pray that God would work. Dear Lord God, we come before You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for blessing this afternoon and for giving me words to speak, Lord. I do pray that You'd work in each and every one of these girls' hearts, that the things that have been said during this camp would blossom, Lord, and that they would come to bring fruit in the lives of each and every one, that it would be seen what is in the heart, Lord, because either way it's seen, whether it's good or bad, but that it would be a blessing to those around us, each and every one, including me, that I would learn and that we would all learn to be more like You, that we would follow You better, closer, and do Your will. Thank You, Lord. Please bless this time in all that we do. Keep us in Your care. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.